This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey, everybody, you should come see us live next Sunday. That's right, we're doing a live show in Los Angeles.
September 5th, baby. Come see us at Permanent Records Roadhouse, first Sunday of every month. The next one is September 5th. It's going to be a blast. The first one was absolutely amazing.
So much fun. Yeah, the show is outside, so, you know, you can feel nice out there. They are also checking vax cards, so we're covering all of our bases. And we have an amazing lineup. We have Roz Hernandez, Danielle Perez, Michael Rayner, who you may know as the Broken Juggler. He did some of our Zoom shows, and he, like, juggles the hamburgers that are on fire. Yeah, it's amazing.
You can't explain it. You have to just see it. Michael Rayner is truly a sight to behold. I can't wait to see him in person again. And our friend Jenny from Bad Cop, Bad Cop is going to be doing some music as well. And we're going to have some other special guests and prizes and whatnot.
Yeah, so come out and join us Sunday, September 5th, 7 p.m. at Permanent Records Roadhouse. I always say it wrong.
You got it. No, you did it right.
Oh, Permanent Records Roadhouse.
You got to trust yourself, Babs. Permanent Records Roadhouse.
So, yeah, click the link on our bio in our Twitter or Instagram to get tickets. That'll send you to the Eventbrite. $10. Come out and hang out with us. We had so much fun last time. We're excited to have this be an ongoing show. So it will be the first Sunday of every month. Come out next Sunday, September 5th, and say hi.
All right. Enjoy the show, everybody.
I'm Babs Gray, and I was such a disgusting, horny comic when I started stand-up, and I really miss that, because now I'm old.
Aw, Barbara, you can be an old, horny, disgusting comic.
I mean,
I still am,
but I just miss those free days.
Yeah, fair. I'm Brandy Posey, and just in case anyone else was taught in childhood that Stegosaurus has had a second brain in their butt, I found out that is not true, like a week ago. I am 37. Thank you.
We'll talk more about this because I have questions. I'm Tess Barker, and Trader Joe's is by far the stoniest grocery store. They're always like, for the next 2 months, everything you eat is going to be flavored like watermelon or dill pickles.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara Brown.
I love it.
That was a theme song cover by Brooke from Ohio, a.k.a. Lala Brookie on social media. Thank you so much. That was awesome. I love the harmonica at the end. That's like a nice surprise.
It made me feel like we were a late 90s sitcom.
Yeah, it definitely had that vibe of like, ooh, a lot of stuff's going to go down before the end of this season, but it means we're coming back. It's nice.
Yeah, that was great. And she played that was her on all one gal band. So very nice.
I love it. Learning one instrument is hard, but like learning multiples, give it up. Give it up for Lala Brookie.
Pretty
That's
much
amazing.
Just our buddy, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, I know. Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
My grandfather knew how to play 14 instruments.
Wow.
Damn.
So that's, I don't know, whatever.
That's 14
impressive.
And that's the legacy that I will never
That's what used to happen before cell phones. You just kept learning things that made you more and more proud of your accomplishments in life versus looking at the accomplishments of others that have been.
Hey, I can post. Yeah, but did my grandfather ever get like 900 likes for posting his ass on Instagram?
I don't think so.
Exactly. Your grandfather did not have dad ass. That's true.
Exactly. Let's bring on our guest. I'm so excited to have her. She's so fucking funny. You might follow her on Twitter.
Twitter?
I literally never introduced someone like this. So, and she has an amazing new book called Well, This Is Exhausting. She's a sex columnist for Bustle and GQ magazine. Sophia Benoit, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. I love the harmonica in that opening too. I just wanted to say it, throw it out there. The harmonica did it for me.
I don't
me.
Think you're like expecting it.
It's no, you're real, not.
Like, no.
It feels
nice
like
a sweet treat.
It's a little, it's like a closing out. Feels like, you're closing down the bar or like everyone's pausing for their portrait in the opening credits.
It felt beautiful, so I'm so glad to be here.
I liked it because it felt like it was like I was listening to Piano Man just a little bit, but not the whole song. And that's exactly what I want out of Piano Man. I never want to hear the whole thing.
Oh, I love. Give me the whole thing.
Give me the whole thing. Yeah. Oh,
I love so it. Sorry. I love it. It's a terrible song on its face. Everything about it should be wrong and bad. And it's so good in spite of itself. Like it's so perfect.
Is that not Billy Joel in general, though? Like, what's that Italian restaurant song? It's so good.
That song's crazy. That thing is crazy.
He's insane, and he should not have been famous. There was already Bruce Springsteen and Elton John. And he was like, what if I did kind of both of their things, but bad? And everyone was like, fucking go for it, Billy.
We'll
like,
take that. We love mediocrity. Bring it
it's
on.
It's the 80s.
I feel like Billy Joel, I feel the same way about Billy Joel as I do about another BJ's, and that's BJ's Brewery. And it's like a chain.
Yes.
It does a really good job at what it does. Like, it just scratches a certain itch.
It's like you're never looking to go there, but if it happens to be in your life, you're not going to say no to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, Billy Joel does have big chain energy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, sure. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, when people ask me what my taste in music is, I'm like, I just like stuff that's like really mainstream. Like, I like Billy Joel, the Beatles, Madonna, you know, like
John
just
Mayer.
Give me the, I don't, it's not a John Mayer. It's not even about genres. It's just like, are you super popular? Then you're on my playlist.
Yeah. If you're on it at Applebee's, great. Fantastic.
Yes. I will say if you work, you know, at any chain, having to be subject to hearing the same 15 songs over and over.
It's really
again,
brutal.
That will ruin your life. That
Now take
time.
That, but extrapolate it to being a karaoke host where you hear the same 15 songs, but not even sung by the original artists. And that is why I hate Billy Joel.
Do people choose Billy Joel a lot for karaoke?
Of course. Piano Man is a big choice by people that can't hack it.
But Piano Man's not like, is it that singy of a song? I guess
it's not
kind
that,
of is.
It's not that singy, but you need to bring an energy to it. And people that'll just stand and sing it. It's like that song is all about like, look at all of us together, especially at a bar at night. Yeah. Like we've created a family for one evening. And a lot of people will choose it and just meekly sing it. So there's an energy expectation that you don't get. And then it's just watching a whole bar be blue balled by Billy Joel. It's really an experience.
But that song also has so many like long pauses of harmonica solo stuff, which is like the one thing you do not want in a karaoke song is where you have to stand and a harmonica plays. That is not a good vibe.
Yeah, when it's like 50 bars.
It's like 58 bars of like a harmonica. Mm-hmm. And kind of a sad harmonica. Too.
Right, it's like, not like a harmonica you can do a jig to.
No, it's like this man has a dream of being a novelist, but he will die in this bar and we all know it. And you're like, oh, fuck.
That's why I like it. It's a sad, it's not a happy song.
No.
It's kind of depressing.
A mournful harmonica.
But well, he did write a song about how good of a musician he is and like how everyone at this bar is like so excited to hear him play, which I think is so funny and cocky and like kind of hilarious to be like, everyone's here like, yeah, Billy Joel. He writes a song like that. That's insane.
Also, to have it called the Piano Man, but then also like all the solos are harmonica solos. Like the piano is not very much feet. Now I'm turning into like a weird.
But wait a minute.
I love the 80s
maybe
bit,
this
but.
Is. But maybe this is like something he did on purpose. Like maybe. The Piano Man's Piano Man is the harmonica player.
That's interesting.
I think that the piano, I think the piano is featured pretty, but it is. You're right. The middle solos, but I think the harmonica is like the piano man's like thoughts and his like feelings because they're kind of sad and, you know. Mm.
So Billy Joel wants to be a blues traveler is what we're saying.
I think he wants to be Pitbull. Like, yeah. Well, he wrote a song about how cool he is. I just feel like that's such Pitbull energy. Like, Pitbull songs are the same exact vibe when you think about it. They're like, mm-hmm. I'm at a club. I'm the coolest person. Everyone's so happy I'm here. And that's exactly what Piano Man is.
That's a really good comparison. And Ari mm-hmm. Pitbull, love him too.
And he's great.
The confidence on that man is staggering.
He addresses some really existential themes in his song that no one will talk to me about, even no matter how many times I get drunk and talk about how Pitbull addresses a lot of existentialism in his song. No one wants to go there, and I have all three of you captive now.
Yeah, so. I'm here. Go on, Sophia. Go on.
I feel like he's always, like, half of his songs are like, we're going to die eventually. We have to party tonight. Or, like, they're like, you know, we have to live for the moment, and we can only do what we have. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that is a good point.
He's the Andrew WK of the club.
He's
always thinking that we're gonna die and we might as well like enjoy life while we can, and I'm like, kind of a beautiful moment. Thank you.
That is good. I enjoy when songs make me feel that way, but then in reality mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I haven't paid my bills for 6 months.
He has a song about that. I know my rent is gonna be due. Really? That one, like, there's literally a song that's like, my rent is due, I knew a rent was late a week ago or something. That's a theme for him. He knows this.
Wow.
This is like the working man's Pitbull. My theory about how that Bruno Mars has never had sex, you know.
Oh, he hasn't. No way.
No.
Right?
Who would? No, who would? No.
Yeah. He's a Ken doll. Like, there's just nothing. I don't think mm-hmm. he's ever touched a person's body. Just mm-hmm. nothing.
I don't think he's even ever said the word body. He probably has a lyric with body.
He has
it in
lyrics. Bloody, but all of his lyrics are just like, you know how women love to fuck next to fireplaces and have rose petals in the bath. And it's like, no one wants that. No one wants that.
His idea of sex is very much like, I walked in on my parents in the 70s watching a porn. Mm-hmm. And then that was all I've seen. And so then I have to write about it. And I actually love when people, especially men, sing about sex, because I think it should happen way more than it does now. I feel like we stop being as horny in songs. Mm-hmm. I love The Weeknd for that, because he's just like,
say,
filthy. Like, he's just like, we fuck.
I like it because he's horny for drugs. And I like his horniness for drugs.
Yeah.
He's horny for everything. Like, his vibe is so horny. And I love that Bruno Mars is kind of trying that as well, but in like a sweet way. Like, it's like his older brother told him about it, and he's like, me too.
Ooh, it's Saturday night. I'm going to hold your hand, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like, one of his horniest songs is about getting married. Corny.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Bruno Mars is Skipper and The Weeknd is Barbie.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, his one song, Versace on the Floor, is really funny because it's like about getting someone, I don't know, about fucking, obviously. But then all of a sudden he's just like, and then you're naked. And it's like, he obviously doesn't know how that happens. He doesn't know how you get to that.
So maybe he's also a never nude. We don't know.
Oh,
never nude virgin, Bruno Mars.
I've been comfort watching Arrested Development. Highly recommend.
Good comfort watch.
I think one of the things that makes it such a good comfort watch is that it takes place in a model home, which I'm realizing I find even those very comforting.
Well, because it's like it's a model home is like Target, where it's like, ooh, this is perfect. It's pristine. Everything here could be the thing that fixes my anxiety or my depression or whatever. It's just a perfect life that I could just enter into and I didn't need to create for myself.
Yeah. Well, I also think I like model homes because when I was in high school, there was a new housing development right by our high school. And it had four model homes in it that were just open all the time. So my friends and I would ditch school and we would just go hang out in the model homes.
I don't think they were open all the time. I think you guys broke in. You broke in.
You broke in. And you did break B&E. That is fine. Yeah.
It was great. There were like fully furnished bunk beds. And we would smoke weed out on the veranda. It was wonderful. That realtor got fired. But
yes,
for sure.
That's like one of those things where like one realtor died and they forgot to give all the contracts to a new person at the office and no one's remembering about the four model homes they owned or something.
Exactly.
So like, cracks.
For 2 years, it just like fell through the cracks or something. Like,
yeah, you guys,
Yeah, we're loitering in a loophole for 2 years somehow. That's amazing.
Or someone lived there and it just wasn't there during the day and you guys were like, this is a crazy model home, am I right?
Wow, they even have food in the fridge and everything? That's very realistic.
These photos are really good. They usually just, they don't look like stock photos and it's all the same people constantly. Wow.
Wow, I was looking out the window like longingly at my, I don't even know if I could call them a neighbor because they have like, they're in a gated community, but I can see it, you know?
Yeah.
But I was just like, God, I wish we could, I could go to that place because it's the place I used to sneak into with the big pool. And the one I tried to DM the guy on Instagram to become friends with him and he never saw it.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yes, I found him on Nextdoor and found his Instagram and then just like DM'd him me like, hey, we're neighbors. Like, I don't. Yeah. But he never opened it. So.
I think we should find him on LinkedIn and just look at his profile a bunch, and then maybe he'll get the point, and he'll be like, "Who's Barbara Gray?" I'm gonna look it up.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
And find you
Barbara
on Instagram.
Gray, pool. What do I do to make him want to invite me over to his house? What do I call
him? Big titty lifeguard.
Yeah.
Big titty.
Yeah.
And I think that like it should just be like that's your latest experience, and then yeah, a bunch of like other not relevant work experience, like retail. But the last job is like big titty lifeguard.
I'm 1,000% doing this. I'm putting this on my LinkedIn, and I'm gonna message him on there.
And just keep messaging him and being like, "So about that pool?
You know, I'm looking for summer gigs. If you need any."
I also love the idea of like all lifeguards are usually teenagers, and then there's just one woman in her 30s who's the big titty lifeguard.
Wait, this seems like an Adam Sandler movie, but for women, of like the 30-year-old lifeguard that's hanging on to like being a lifeguard for way too long.
That's a fun. Yes. That's a good one.
Yeah, I only like lotion this. On the clock.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she has big tits.
Just making a show of like lotioning up, and everyone's like, I don't want to see this.
No, she's so got much. Like big like mom tits now. Yes. It's like, it's just doing it for you, little guys.
Yes, exactly. It's like way too much for everyone at this point. Public pool in like Ohio. They're like, no, thank you.
I'm just imagining it like it's like a Baywatch bathing suit, but it's red cheetah print. Like it just needs to be like a cougar bathing suit.
That would be
everyone else has to wear like a uniform, but she does not listen to the rules because she's been there so long. They're like, we can't get Annette
to
listen.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is actually relevant to something I've been pondering recently. So I had an incident last summer at the public pool. Sean and I sometimes like to go swim laps in the summer. And I had the same like one piece lap swim bathing suit for like 4 years. And it failed me mid swim. The elastic busted. I was titties out at the Rose Bowl. Literally, I had to like cup my tits while I was. I mean, it was like the bathing suit just essentially disintegrated on me in the middle of the public pool. I had to like flag down Sean in his lane, and we like had to tie it together. So, anyway, I need a new one piece bathing suit, and I think obviously the Baywatch one piece is like the hottest thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are people gonna think I'm a lifeguard if I get that as my like lap swim bathing suit?
If they do, that's on them. It's like, okay, your safety is a false sense of safety, and that is not my problem. You thought I could save your life? Bitch, I can't.
Yeah. Like, you could probably save them more than the teenager would anyway, like,
that's
even if
true.
You wanted to.
You're swimming laps. You're better already than every lifeguard that I've ever been around. Like, I can't. I think you're doing great.
Okay, wonderful.
Also, it's like wearing red to Target. Like, sometimes that happens, and you are a Target employee.
Yeah, sometimes someone at Target is drowning, and you're like, not my problem.
Not my problem, frankly.
Also, I feel like if you stop me in Target, I can probably help you more than the employees in Target. Actually, I know my way around Target.
If you wear red in a Target, you are technically an employee, and I believe that, and you can do whatever you want.
100%.
You can check someone out. Mm-hmm.
So, Sophia, you just released your book. When did it come out? It just came out recently, right?
Yeah, it came out July 13th.
Woo. Congratulations.
Nice.
Thank you.
So, like I said, it's called Well, This Is Exhausting. You can get it, you know, wherever you get books. So, yeah, tell us about it. I know it's essays about being a lady. Was that
it's
good?
It's true. No, it is. It is essays about being a lady. I kept begging them to make me not have to have, like, a like a theme or a pitch for it. I was like, I just want to write some stuff and you guys publish it. And they were like, no, it has to be about something. So I would say Essays About Being a Lady is incredibly accurate. but it kind of charts this, there's no like corny way to, there's no non-corny way to say this, I should say. It kind of charts me going from being this like really good, nerdy, overweight kid, always did the right thing, like never got in trouble. My parents were divorced, so I was always trying to be like good for both of them, into like becoming this really chill girl in college and trying to do everything to impress men, and then being like, you know, the like I drink beer and watch football games girl, even though I didn't drink beer, but you get the vibe. Mm-hmm. And then like from there moving into being like an adult who was hopefully a better person for the sake of myself rather than for other people. That's the ideal, you know, but am I there? No. But do I desperately need approval? Still, yes. Yes. But that's the thesis of the book, is kind of that journey. And hopefully it's funny. And, you know, I talk about jerking off in preschool and getting in trouble for it. And, you know, Brendan Fraser and all that stuff. That's very normal.
I mean, this is the Brendan Fraser podcast. We're very pro Brendan on the podcast.
If Brandy writes a memoir, there will be a...
He's painted on the side of my car. I love him.
I love him so much, and that's the first chapter. Is called "Bless You, Brendan Fraser." Literally, the first chapter of my book, because
power. Yes,
that was my sexual awakening. George of the Jungle was, and my family. I was like way too young to have a sexual awakening. I was like 3 or 4, and my family has never let me live it down. They were always like, like the second Brendan Fraser does anything, like 4 people in my family email me, and I'm like, I also know and have the internet.
Yeah, don't worry, I have a Google alert. I saw this first.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was gonna ask who the best Brendan Fraser was, but you said already George of the Jungle.
Specifically, George of the Jungle. Okay, there's 2 points in that movie. One, when he's running around with the horses at the engagement party, it's so horny, and every single woman at the party is like watching. Yeah. And then the men at the party are like, what is it with chicks and horses? And it's like, first of all, yes, horses are kind of hot, weirdly. We're all agreeing, but like kind of weird, kind of hot. Second of all, Brendan Fraser's running around with horses. Like, are you not horny? Like,
right.
Why are
should
you
all be horny?
Yeah.
We're all horny. Get on board. So that's one moment that's especially just like indelible in my mind. And then the second is when he's wearing a dress because he doesn't know how people dress. And he's got like, he has long hair because he lived in the jungle. Not very long, just like a short, cute bob kind of moment, like a lob.
He's got like a nice shag going on. Yeah.
Great. It's so cute. His hair's amazing in that movie. And he's all like oiled up all the time because that was what the 90s was about. And then he like puts a dress on because he has no idea what people wear. And it's like,
I was gonna say I'm sure he looks amazing in that.
Amazing. Yes. He looks better in a dress than anyone else has ever looked in a dress. It's stunning.
No, that
like Dennis Rodman cried.
He wishes. No. I don't want to move the conversation away from Brendan, but I do just want to say that I have a similar feeling about, I think we all know the scene I'm talking about in Fight Club when Brad Pitt is wearing that women's bathrobe.
Oh yeah. Mm. It looks amazing in it.
It's like it's like a ratty women's bathrobe, and that just contrasting with the Brad Pitt underneath it. Mwah.
Yeah,
you're gonna hear typing during this podcast because I'm looking it up right now.
Hey, fellas out there, just put on some women's clothes. We think it's hot.
Yeah,
more of you should be experimenting. Fuck it.
But that's like why Harry Styles is hot, and everyone acts like it's a big mystery, and I'm like, he is so willing to like be a tiny bit feminine, and it's so hot. Like, we all know it's hot.
Exactly. Well, it's like I love that. Like, I think it's a good look in women's wear too. When you like, I love contrasting like feminine with masculine. Like, I think it looks so beautiful when women wear tuxedos or blazers.
Oh, oh, totally.
I think it's like, it's not always a fair trade, because a guy with like, you know, if a guy has no chest, it's so much easier to like look, to put something on and be like, great, you look great in a dress. And I'm like, I can't button up a fucking shirt to save my life over these tits.
Yeah. Well, men have a long tradition of looking hot in like anything, and it's annoying.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Except for summer clothes. Men do not look good during the summertime. The worst part about living in LA is that men are so much hotter in cold weather.
Yeah, layers are good. Although I can forever say goodbye to the fucking the beanie that's scrunched, the scrotum beanie, the one that like has different levels on it. And they wear it on the end of their head.
No.
It like sits all the way back here. I can't.
They look like one of the little seven dwarves. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's what it looks like. Two dwarfish. Okay. We're going to take, anyway, hot take. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back in a second.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
We're back.
Welcome back.
We're going to play a little game with you, Sophia, to get to know you better. It's just random questions, so don't be scared.
I'm thrilled.
We're going to play. Here's the theme song.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Why?
So, do you know what the name of the game is?
Brad Pitt's asshole. No.
Yes!
I'm assuming it's who, what, where, when, why. I love the musical quality on this podcast is unmatched. This
Thank
is
you.
Like the production
Thank
value
you.
Is
I mean,
amazing.
Unmatched, that's for sure the word I would use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're talking Thank about you. Brad Pitt's butthole, we do have to say we got censored on YouTube. We got a notice. We did get a notice. We don't really use our YouTube that much. We've uploaded some old sketches to it, and it had our podcast for a minute, but we just are not. We didn't do it. We didn't do the whole YouTube thing. But we, in 2012, we had a live show where we played an in memoriam of butts from the year, and we just got a notice that we're being, that video is censored.
You guys are dealing with a lot of censorship, and this is what is kind of wrong with America.
Yeah,
it's really not good. It was all the butts we lost that year to like weight loss and things like that. And 2012, this is almost a decade ago.
Oh, I bet those butts came back this year, though. I bet those butts came right back.
They're back. They are back in full force. But I'm sorry if we offend. You know, I'm sorry if you saw that and you didn't realize the content. We didn't know that
we should
our
also
butt
say,
slideshow from 10 years ago.
We should also say that that was from a live show where the whole theme was butts. We based the live show off of, remember that Pop Physique ad that was like the perfect butt?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There was like a huge
giant butt on billboards all
That's
over
right.
Los Angeles.
That's right.
And then we ended the show by writing Lady to Lady on our own butts and we mooned the audience.
So that's what you guys are missing if you don't come to our shows.
It's pretty good, actually. A pretty good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then also in our live shows, we also used to have, like, we have a character that's like a three-part sketch throughout the whole thing. And he was Joe Wenger. We said that he was the Pop Physique butt, but then it turned out that was a fake butt that he was wearing over his real butt. But his real butt was a scary clown mask. Underneath
that was
of
great.
A fake
we made
butt.
Joe Wengert, who is like I think an Emmy award winning writer. Yeah. We made him wear a clown mask on his ass and show it to the audience. So I just feel good. I mostly feel good about our choices in general.
Truly killing it.
Okay,
I love it.
Okay, Sophia, here are our questions. They're all over the place, so feel free to answer them as you see fit. Who published your first piece?
I guess technically Thought Catalog, although now I want to die thinking about what I wrote on there, and I really hope the internet has crumbled and the infrastructure has just been wiped away. And it was like really emotional pieces mixed in with like really funny pieces, and I wrote them all under a fake name that I will never share. Some people know, but I will never
smart.
Share it.
That's very smart.
It's so emotional. It's like me having a crush on this guy in college. It is so bad. I reread it once and I could barely make it through the first two lines before I was like, if I met you, I'd punch you. I would just, you're not a good person. So corny. So that was the first one. And then like the first actual publication to publish me was bizarrely enough, The Guardian.
Oh, nice.
So I'm British now because of that.
Good day.
Congratulations.
Is that British or Australian?
I felt like they're British, but maybe I'm
British.
No, my good day mate. The Guardian is definitely British.
Oh, okay. I was like, am I crazy now? Have I been gaslighting myself into thinking The Guardian is British?
That's so smart. I mean, at least you had the foresight then to use another name because you knew.
How on earth did you have that foresight? How?
I was so embarrassing that I was like, I should be embarrassed by this.
Wow.
And I knew. And I was, I think I just knew. I was like, you're sharing too much of yourself. This needs to be a fake person.
How did you come up with a pen name?
It's very similar to my middle name and my last name. And it's like very Americanized versions of both. And my middle name is... This is going to lead people down a rabbit hole. I'm just kidding. My middle name is Gillette, like the razors. So it was like kind of, it's spelled totally differently, but that's how it's pronounced. But so I was like, I have two crazy ass middle and last names. I can't even use like, it's not like I have like Anne where I could be like Anne Benoit, you know, like.
Right, right.
It's weird shit, you know.
Pen Gillette. That's your pen name. Okay.
Yeah, that is. I am actually, I also. If I have darker hair, I look a lot like him. He's like kind of my celebrity lookalike. And people don't believe me, but I really do look a lot like him. So
that's like, I feel like reading stuff that you wrote just as a beginning, you know, writer or just like whatever when you're younger. Oh, boy, that's hell. Oh. That's
yeah.
For my book, I read my old diaries from that time period or journals or whatever. And it was excruciating. It was so bad.
Yeah. And like, it's humiliating because I there's like a 5 or 6 year period in my life where I was just trying to make money. So I would just write any embarrassing thing about myself for like, and you know, a few hundred dollars. So there's like a whole catalog of humiliation that lives on the internet just because like I needed to pay my electric bill.
Right. Yes. I feel like every 5 years it should just be cleared out. It's like,
yes. It's like your credit score.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, did you guys know about the credit score?
Well, I mean, what about it?
The credit score.
The bane of my existence? I know about the credit score.
Okay. I need to share this information and I'm probably going to get emails from people saying
Test
I'm
hack.
Wrong.
Okay.
Test hack. Yo, credit is fake.
Yeah.
It's fake as fuck. Your shit drops off after 7 years. So if you have stuff that's like 5 years in, don't pay it. Just hang in there.
So if
okay,
you...
I don't know that this is a hack. I'm gonna say. And I will say, my dad used to have a motto, which was there's no such thing as debtor's prison because he was like, what are they going to do? And I was like, I don't feel like that's our vibe. I feel like let's pay some things off. But
so you can't pay any of it, though, right? You have to completely ignore it for 7 years.
I would. I certainly would. Yeah. Because if you don't ignore it, I really want to preface this by saying that I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I think if you start to pay it, that might we don't want to kickstart any kind of a timeline. Just let it sit there.
It's though you never saw. I mean, the thing is, you never knew it was there. You just never got the mail. You never so.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes they'll offer you like a settlement for like a much lower amount too.
Don't take it.
Yeah.
Don't take it. Yeah.
But all of this is like not true for student loans because those can never be
unfortunately
wiped off.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because. No. Some guy from like Ohio or Illinois or some random ass place, when the original like student loan bill was being created or like one of the for early ones, he like snuck in the fact that it could never be wiped out at the last hour. And no one read the bill because like, why would you read the bill? Because it's just your job. You
it's
know,
just
you're
your
in
job.
Congress.
It's fine.
No big deal. Might affect millions of people's lives for a long time. So he just like snuck in that it didn't need to, it could never be wiped out because his state had a bunch of like massive companies that were doing student loan debt stuff. So he just like snuck that in. So now we're all fucked because of that one dude.
Ugh.
Yeah. Like your bankruptcy, nothing. You can't.
Nothing. You can never get rid of it. You just have to die.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is mind blowing.
Yeah.
So the people that racked up debt, like learning, are a disadvantage compared to the people that racked up debt, say, with a skydiving addiction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Damn.
Well, that's brutal.
It's not great.
All right, this leads to our next question, Sophia. What's a matter?
What's a matter? Oh, where to begin? I would say the biggest thing is probably just like climate change and ecological collapse. I feel like that's the big one at this point. I mean, obviously, yeah. like just rampant inequality, but yeah, that's the one that's keeping me up at night where I'm like, duh, are we going to address this ever? So definitely to bring the vibe of the podcast down, we're probably not going to address it very soon. So
no, yeah. no, but at least we made it to old, guys. At least we did.
Oh, that's true.
So,
well, yeah, no, me and my boyfriend were talking about it last night, and it's like, you just have this like constant, like, I don't know, 10-yard stare. Cause you're like, are we going to figure, mm-hmm. are we going to do it?
Are we wrapping up here? Yeah, or like, what's like,
is it closing
time? Is this kind of it? Yeah. Should I focus on my career or should I learn how to forage?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what we were
yeah.
saying. Is I was like, we're at the
100%.
We're at yeah. the part in our lives where we're like, okay, naturally I'd be like, okay, I'm planning for the future now. Where do I want to, like, how do I want to save my money so that I can maybe retire mm-hmm. or do whatever. But also I'm like, but do we need to like buy some land and make a bunker? Like what are yeah. we doing here? What are we figuring out? It's so scary. And I think with the vaccine and QAnon and stuff like that, you see mm-hmm. the people just literally aren't willing to believe fact or, and then you're like, oh, well then we're really fucked because people don't even want to admit that things are true. So
it just makes, correct. It just makes you think that back in the day there were like dinosaurs that were like, that's not an asteroid. Nope. Not happening. It's not coming right for us at all. Not gonna happen. I'm just gonna sit here with my two butts and have a great time.
Yeah, Brandy, about that.
Wait, a brain in their yeah. butt.
A brain in
yeah,
their butt?
I mean, sorry, a brain in their butt. Were you guys not taught that stegosauruses had two brains?
No.
No.
Well,
I think the closest I've come is that cows have four stomachs, which I think is real.
That sounds real.
Yeah.
Because so in a stegosaurus, there is a second like hollow compartment over where its tail begins. And I looked it up and early paleontologists thought that there was like a second like smaller brain that just controlled the motor skills, the back half of the body because
their brains.
Yeah. They're aspirin because their brains were so small. Because like the stegosaurus's brain is like fucking tiny, but they needed like a second like nerve center basically to get the reaction, like the
motor
reaction.
So it's like a fire truck,
needed.
Like the guy on the end of the fire truck.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank
this
you, Barbara.
This is such a horny episode.
I love a stegosaurus brain, baby. Yeah.
Wait, but yeah, how did you learn that, or where did that come from?
I loved dinosaurs, so I just like knew a lot about them as a kid. And that it was an incorrect fact, just like Brontosaurus was not an actual real dinosaur.
It's just funny to think that was like a rumor, like that mm-hmm. was dinosaur gossip. That wasn't true.
I also like to think that the dinosaurs themselves believe that. They're like, do you know how Gary has an ass brain?
And good old like, ass brain Gary over here.
Yeah. He has a mind of his own.
A second brain in his ass.
Yeah. Anyway, I just like this podcast is all about like breaking the misinformation loop. So I just want everyone to know Stegosaurus has only had one brain and it was in their head.
Okay.
Not their ass.
That's good.
And they also probably did not believe in an asteroid or climate change for sure.
Yeah, no, they're very QAnon.
Oh, yeah, the Stegosaurus was the QAnon dinosaur for sure.
Like an asshole. I'm sorry, but yeah. I'd be so embarrassed if I look like him. And I think, I just think he's QAnon.
And don't you guys think that Stegosaurus, because that was an herbivore, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
So vegan. Mm-hmm. Doesn't he have a bit of a Moby vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%, yes. I mean, I don't know if I'd say Moby vibe because I'm thinking of the spikes, which give me like a spiked hair, like a gelled vibe. So
yeah,
maybe like a
like
Moby.
Bono.
I think it's kind of like a. I would say like a Gwyneth Paltrow because the scales in the back are kind of like a headdress of some kind, and she seems like she's done some inappropriate shit.
I feel like she's kind of like a gallimimus. To me, like she's got like the long legs. She's looking hot. She's running around.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what I see for her. But now I have to think about every dinosaur in terms of celebrities. I will never stop.
If you guys could be done, which dinosaur do you feel in your heart that you are the most?
Oh.
Mine is Carnotaurus. It's like a really big dinosaur. and they kind of have like these backwards arms, like they're like a T-Rex, a little bit bigger, but then the little arms are kind of facing backwards, which is just the most dumbass thing I've ever seen in my life. Like someone messed up so bad, and I think it's hilarious, and I will never not find it hilarious. So I'd say Carnotaurus.
Mine would be the one in Jurassic Park that has the
Dilophosaurus.
Dilophosaurus, because I'm like I'm cute and fun and I look like harmless, but then like if it comes out, it comes out.
Yeah, Tess has real angry jazz hands that'll pop out every once in a while and just let you know.
I mean, my favorite, I don't think I'm like this one at all, but I like a Brontosaurus, but I'm not like them, so I don't know. That's just like the first
Brontosaurus thing don't exist though.
Brachiosaurus. I guess.
It's a Brachiosaurus. The Brontosaurus was like a conglomeration of several dinosaurs they figured out were, yeah.
Well, that makes sense then, actually. So I'm the one that does work. I'm a Brontosaurus.
Yeah, Barbara Gray, the Kaiser Soze of dinosaurs, everybody.
Yes. Mythical.
Yeah. I think I would be a Diplodocus because I would like to swim. And I liked her in the Land Before Time movies. So it was a little ducky. And she was fun and sweet. Yeah.
How many of those did they make? They made like 1,000 of
those
movies.
Too many.
Those movies. Everyone's mom was dying.
I know. The first one was like, oh, you thought Bambi was sad? Well, what if we killed all the dinosaurs and also his mom and dad? What if we did that?
I thought maybe the kids' movies from our generation were sad, but then I realized like Pixar. Can you imagine the children living through Pixar?
Yeah. Those movies don't even seem to appeal to children at all. Like, I just genuinely don't understand why a little kid would be like, I would love to watch a movie about an old man with a walker and his sweet neighbor that is annoying him. What? Like, no.
I'd like to know how many kids were tying balloons to their grandfather's chairs, just trying to like see if they could just get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true. And like, I have 3 nieces and not one of them has ever name dropped a Pixar movie. They're like in some shit like, these girls are all about Frozen 2, Cars 2.
They're much more crazy shit that they're watching and into than like a plot that adults can follow.
Are you telling me Pixar movies might have actually been made for us because we just need to hold on to our childhoods because it's the last nice thing that happened in our lifetime?
Was your childhood, I'm concerned about your childhood if it had anything to do with a Pixar movie. Like, was a rat cooking for you? Or like, what happened? We need to get to the bottom of which Pixar movie.
Well, just like the Toy Story movies or whatever. Okay, just that's like, fair. It just feels that they were like
that's
I feel
definitely
like the
new what
ones...
Toy Story's about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Toy Story 3, they like accept death in a moment. Like, they're going to be in like an incinerator and they're
just
like,
dark.
That
Toy Story 3 is like, too much.
I honestly think as a writer, I get mad watching Pixar movies because I'm like, God, things shouldn't be this good. How are things this good? Like, Finding Nemo is a perfect script.
Yeah, it is. Toy Story 3 is the tale of a millennial finding a gray hair for the first time and just accepting death, but then realizing that you can pluck it. That's Pixar, that's Toy Story 3.
All right, here's my pitch. But then we turn it in. No, I'm not. I don't have one. But okay. Let's ask one more.
Okay. Where is your favorite escape?
My favorite escape? Probably, you know, I just love patios. That sounds ridiculous, I know, but if you give me like a nice patio or even like a rooftop, pretty much anywhere that I'm just sitting somewhere outside and I'm not expected to do an outdoorsy thing. So you kind of get half points for it, you know? I love that. I've never had a bad time drinking on a patio. I'm never like, that was disappointing. I'm like, 1,000%. This seems great. This is my speed.
Last night, I was like, I've just been like so fucking busy and have not been spending enough time outside at all. Like no walks, nothing. I've just been so fucking busy. And every time I go outside, I'm like, oh, right. And I wish I smoked and then I could just sit outside. And it's like, you can just sit outside. You fucking
idiot. You just sit outside.
Yeah. That is the thing that I miss about smoking cigs is like, it was so nice. It's very like, if cigarettes didn't kill you, and let's face it, everything does. So maybe I should just start smoking again. But if cigarettes didn't kill you, like they're actually really good for you because you
it
sit there for 10 minutes
and
just like contemplate shit and like maybe make small talk with people. But like you have several breaks in your day where you're just like sitting outside.
I think it's like a forced meditation, even though you'd not look at it that way usually.
Yes.
But
yes, it's a meditation that you're severely addicted to.
Okay.
I'm addicted to meditation is a t-shirt that we can definitely find in a Target. Awful. Yeah. The worst one, but.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this one, Heavily Meditated.
Oh. Oh, that's bad. That is really painful to hear.
I clenched a fist when you said it.
My butthole clenched. She was like, no.
Get it away from me.
I hate funny shirts. If there was one thing I could just burn. Well, I hate also engagement photo shoots. So those would be like the first thing. And then funny shirts. I hate the two of those things so much. I can't. Unreal.
It's so.
What's your least favorite funny shirt?
I do all my own stunts. I fucking hate, that makes no sense. That makes, why are you doing stunts? No one's doing stunts. And no one's also, no one's hiring someone to do it. And also, like, that just means you're a stunt person. So, like, you have a job that some people have. That makes no sense. That's fucking ridiculous.
And I just love that you didn't even have to think one second about that.
Immediately. Immediately, it was right there.
Can I just tell you guys some of the shirts available right now at Spencer's?
Yes.
Please. Oh, boy.
Okay. We've got Tice Knits.
Okay. Yes. I get it. Okay. I do get it.
Took me a second, but there we are. Okay.
Legalize eating ass.
Wow. Spencer's has gotten raunchier. We've come a far away since penis pasta.
Yeah, there used to just be some subtext, but all right.
Yeah, okay. That was a pretty, I just can't imagine seeing someone wearing a legalized eating ass t-shirt.
And like their mom had to buy it for them, which is hilarious.
Okay, I'm not always an asshole. Sometimes I'm asleep.
That's not even a, I guess it has a punchline in a sense, but like that's not a full joke. I can't deal with that one.
None of these
are also dumb. If you're happy and you know it, go fuck yourself.
None of these people wear masks.
These are just mean.
Can you imagine being the writer of these t-shirts and like that is your job? It's like a greeting card writer. Like your heart isn't even in it, but you know, like this shit sells. Like we have to make another thing that says like the punchline is eating ass. Like, okay, clocking in another day of work at my Spencer's.
There's one that just, and I know that this was like I've seen this sentiment on the internet, but it's very weird to see on a t-shirt. It's okay not to be okay.
That's so dark.
That's horrendous.
Damn,
why
Spencer's.
Would you wear that on a shirt?
You should be wearing that underneath the legalized eating ass shirt so that you could be like, this is how I actually feel. This is like my real emotion.
Right.
And the one I'm presenting to the world.
That's like what a bad therapist tells you because they don't know what to actually tell you.
1,000%. It's okay to not be okay. Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to do my job. You're good. It's okay.
You're good.
It's okay to not be okay.
Okay. All right. This is the final one. This is a long one. Here we go. I'm not saying I hate you, but I would unplug your life support to charge my phone.
That's so long for a shirt.
So
like,
long.
There's so much wrong with long. That. It's clunky. It's morbid. It's mean. Oh.
Is it just letters or is there a picture to go with this at all?
Letters. I hate you is in all red and bigger than the rest. So it says, I'm not saying I hate you. But I would unplug your life. Okay, well, I think I know. So we've been writing Reader's Digest jokes for, I think next year we might have to go Spencer's t-shirts.
Yeah, 2022, the year of trying to crack a Spencer shirt. Oh my God. So that one's really bad.
Yeah. It's so long. Like, am I at a stoplight and I'm crossing the street and I'm waiting and I get to read your shirt? What is the context in which I'm just like, stuck with you reading your shirt?
Right. And like, why do you hate me? I'm just in line at Starbucks with you. Of course you don't hate me.
Yeah, because like, that's the thing, is it's like, this isn't, you're not wearing this for people you know to, you're reading it's for strangers
are reading this
to understand something about your personality.
I will say I had a t-shirt in high school that I still think was really funny and hilarious. People kept letting me wear it to school, but I found this t-shirt at a thrift store that had a picture of a middle-aged man on it, and it said, I'm with Neil, he's 50.
That's hilarious. That's perfect. That's pretty great.
I don't get it.
It's just a shirt that says she's with Neil.
Oh, like, oh great.
Who doesn't want to be with Neil now? He's 50. Like, fucking yes. And iconic. If they sold that shirt anywhere, I would buy it.
Yeah. I would love, if you're listening to this and you know where we can get an I'm with Neil, he's 50 shirt, that please let us know.
I love it. I love it. Very, very into it.
All right, we're going to go find this this t-shirt. We'll be back in a second, everybody. back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Sophia Benoit.
Hi.
Hi. And we're going to do a lady problem. If you want to send one to us, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or, oh my God, call us at 323-6-butt-30. I'm trying to find the theme song at the same time I'm talking, so it's not.
While you're looking for that, can I just tell you guys? I saw on Instagram today that someone got a tattoo of bread, and I was like, that's fucking awesome.
That's a good tattoo.
That's a good tattoo. That's a
great tattoo.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Sophia, again, unmatched song quality. I loved it.
That's one of our best ones.
Thank you.
So you do advice like for as professionally, would you call it? Yeah, right?
Professionally. Yeah. Sophia? Yeah. I mean, at this point, yes, I'm getting paid for it. So I guess. Yeah.
So I feel like honored. So thank you for lending some of your advice.
Oh gosh, time with us. We'll see what happens. I'll probably give the worst advice possible.
Can't be worse than ours.
Hey ladies, it's Mackenzie. Not really sure why I'm saying that. Like, you know who I am, but I'm a fairly new listener, binging on all your podcasts, and I thought I could finally call in a lady problem. So I just moved to a city about a year ago, mid-pandemic. I'm 23, just graduated college a year ago, and I've been really struggling dating in this city. I have a good friend group. We go out, but they're all in great relationships, so it's really hard for me to find someone. So I went ahead and took my shot at online dating. So tried the online dating thing, found this guy. We have been talking for 2 weeks. It's been going really well. And he's asking me, oh, when can I see you again? And all the things that makes me think, oh, yes, this is going great. So all of a sudden, I think it was like a week ago now, he slept over and I told him that, you know, I'm not down for hookups. That's just not who I am. It's a way to protect myself if someone's not fully invested in me. And he said, you know what? I completely respect you for that. In fact, I respect you more. Fine with it. Asked me when he can see me again. And then I'm like, okay, next week. I have a friend coming in town this weekend. It's going to be 4 days. Sorry. And so that time passes, and I'm trying to text him over the time period while my friend is here, and I'm not getting anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm getting ghosted. So essentially, long story short, I guess I am ghosted. He cut me off completely, stopped responding to all my texts, unfollowed me on all social media. And I even gave him an out, and I was like, hey, like, just to let me know, if you're not interested, just give me a heads up. Didn't even take that opportunity. So I guess my lady problem is, how do I deal with the anxiety of the rejection? I mentally know I'm a boss ass bitch. I'm out here 23 doing the most. I have a career. I just bought myself a new 2021 car. I'm doing great at my job. I have great friends here, and I don't think I'm ugly, but I have no idea how to deal with my anxiety over this. And I've tried everything between meditation, yoga, therapy, and I have no idea what to do. I can't get my brain and my body, my hormones and my anxiety to match. So if you guys have any advice on how to deal with rejection, especially something that was seemed so 180. I know it was kind of all over the place, this story, but please, any advice is great. Thanks.
Okay, first of all, I'm so sorry. My alarm for my own anxiety meds went off in the middle of that. So
that was no worries.
Incredibly a beautiful art moment. actually, my first thing, when anyone ghosts anyone, this is so stupid, but I just genuinely believe that you have to assume they died. And that's just like, I just assume that. Like, a guy ghosted me one time and he was like, he was kind of like into it and he was the one following up with me. And I like finally followed up with him. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to Philadelphia. I'll call you when I get back. And he never called me again. I was like, I think we can all assume he died in Philadelphia. Like,
1,000% he did.
And who would call me and be like, I want to let you know. I can't even remember his name at this point. But like, I want to let you know Greg died in Philadelphia. No one's going to tell me. So he probably did die.
There needs to be like a special service at this point for online dating apps where it's like, you need to notify someone if that happens. You know, how are you supposed to notify like who I'm hooking up with? They're not going to know my friends.
Well, no, and I think Sophia is right. We should assume not only that they all died, but that they all died in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
correct. Someone ghosts you.
Correct.
That's what happened.
Yeah, you go to Philly, quote unquote, and that is what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's the upstate farm for fuckboys.
You rang the old Liberty Bell.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
The same thing happens when you unfollow me on social media as well. I assume that you're dead and your family has deleted your profiles.
Yes. That's what happened. That is just like, that is the beginning end of it is he probably is dead in Philadelphia. And I think there's probably a beautiful service and his family is still mourning him. And so are you. But he is dead.
I think, I mean, unfortunately, it's so annoying, but the only answer is time that you're it's gonna if you're trying all the shit, it's just like, it fucking sucks and you're just gonna have it's like gonna take a minute to get over it.
And you know, I always like to chime in with the unhealthy answer. And I think honestly, no one's gonna tell you this, but sometimes you just need a distraction person. Like
But it doesn't, I don't know if that's what she wants. Like,
oh yeah, I forgot. She doesn't like to be slutty. Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't want to have sex with this guy. So I don't think having sex with anyone is the
my bad.
Answer.
Yeah. Wait, I think kind of a combination of a lot of things here, but I do agree a lot with the time thing. I think a lot of my advice in my letters and in my like columns is that I think a lot of people forget that grieving is about things that aren't death related. Like, I think we associate grieving with death. And I do think that like, sometimes you have to go through some of the processes of grief for all kinds of loss. And so even if the loss isn't this guy, even if the loss is like, I lost the assumption that dating would be easy for me, or I lost the assumption that someone would treat me correctly. Like, sometimes that's the thing you have to grieve on a more real level than that he's dead, which he still might be. I kind of want to hold out hope that he died.
Yeah.
And I do think the most, I tell this to everyone, but the most common mental health phrase for me when I have anxiety, the thing that is like my motto is, that is not my business. So whenever my brain starts thinking about something that I do not want her thinking about, like sometimes I'll go to a doctor and they'll be like, time to weigh you. And I'm like, oh, sweetheart, that is not my business. I do not need to know what I weigh. Or, you know, if I start to go down the path of like, all my friends hate me behind my back, I'm like, oh, not your business if they hate you. Just not. And so I think just like coming up with something with a motto of sorts for whenever you do have those unhealthy thoughts. You don't have to like invite every unhealthy thought in to live in your house. You can just be like, oh, I see their unhealthy thought. Thank you for stopping by. But no, thank you.
Yeah, I think especially when you want to spin out about like what someone else might feel about you, it's so important to that's not my business. Because it's like, it really probably doesn't have much to do with you at all. This is this own dude's thing. He died. So that's his number one issue. But other than that, it's like
his biggest flaw.
His biggest flaw is that he died.
He's dead. He's
but
dead.
Also,
right?
Like, whatever the fuck's going on with him, I guarantee you has probably very little to do with you. And it's his own fucking shit. So
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It also, and I think this is like a tale as old as time. And these guys love to do this. It's always the guy that starts out up your grill. And
I respect you more. Go fuck yourself. Just say, you know what? I'm pissed. I'm horny. I want to go fuck somebody. Like, don't fucking lie to my face and be like, I respect you. You fucking asshole.
No, it's super shitty. I think it can be hard too, especially when you are like you said you're a boss ass bitch who's like done all these things and like gotten, you know, like built up a life, but you have control of all those things. Then to also have like an uncontrollable thing inserted into your life, I think at least that stuff has always made me extra crazy, because I'm just like, no, but I do this and I get that. I do this and I get that. I do this and I get that. And then dating is like, you don't get that connection because you have no control over how the other person works. And I think that can be like a real mind fuck with all of it too, especially if you're like a results oriented person that has like built a great life for themselves.
100%. I also think like going back to the idea of like caring what people think about you, it's very difficult to not do that. I mean, it almost impossible. All of us care. But I do think to some extent you have to come to the realization eventually that like this guy liking you is not in any way indicative of your worth. Because like if we were all waiting on this guy who I assume his name is Trevor, if we were all waiting on Trevor's approval, like what if Trevor hates me, Sophia? Like I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean? Like if you... The idea that some guy who's not even talking to you anymore has any reflection of your worth is so ludicrous. And at some point you will find that out via time and probably tequila and like a lot of other fun exploratory moments. But man, who even cares what men are up to? Sorry, but like,
certainly none of us. And the other thing is, and it's unfortunate because, you know, when you're attracted to them.
I know, it sucks. Oops.
But I think also, you know, there's something to, I don't know, I've kind of learned this as I've gotten older too, is like sometimes shit just sucks. Like it's nothing is good. Sometimes things feel bad. And like that doesn't mean that it's anything is going wrong. It's just like sometimes you, it's like, remember when you got your COVID shot and you had to take the next day off work because you knew you were going to feel like shit? Like sometimes you just need to have those days where you feel like shit. And the only way to do it is to get through it. So, like, whatever that means, like, whatever.
Are you saying that it's okay to not be okay?
Wow. Yes, but first, tacos.
That's the other side of the shirt.
Oh, my God.
Also, like, I just feel for you because there's nothing harder than when all of your friends are in, like, you know, a committed relationship and you're kind of like, over here like, okay, when's my turn? It's really hard. I was watching, I don't know if anyone else watched Love is Blind, whatever, but they were doing they were doing an anniversary party like 2 years later, and two of the couples did find like a good partner and are in love, and you know, they're giving their speeches about how much they love each other in front of all these other people who just want to find someone so bad. And I just felt so, I was like, this sucks. Like, of course you're happy for your friends who are in love, but it also just fucking sucks. And I'm sorry.
Well, and I think also coming off of a year and a half of a pandemic where, like, I assume that you were, it sounds like you were single that entire time. So this is your first kind of foray back out into the dating world after, you know, all of that time away. So it's like, there's all sorts of extra weird shit that's coming into it too. And I mean, I would feel like really upset, just like, really, motherfucker, you were single for, like, that dude was like single and like, he's going to be that shitty after this. So there's like no growth that has happened in any way. Like, that's just like a constant, just like disappointment and humanity that I'm feeling constantly in other ways as well.
Yeah. Fuckboy still fuckboying is definitely one of the disappointing outcomes.
Yes. But like this girl's 23. I mean, let's be honest, your 20s are so many fuckboys. So I think it's great to get started with some like get these fuckboy tactics ready to roll, because this isn't going to be your last fuckboy.
I feel like also sometimes it just helps to remember that like, this is me assuming you're also dating a man in his 20s, but like, that guy probably has like maroon sheets and one towel. And like, you just talked about how much of a boss bitch you are. And so sometimes it's like, okay, if someone treated you like that, he clearly is not operating on the highest level of anything else in his life. So it's not like you lost a catch. You lost someone who was willing to treat a person like that. So like,
yeah.
And again, like you lost a dude in his 20s. So, you know, like, there's more where that came from. And they're kind of all, they're kind of like a lot of people in their 20s, not just men. Everyone's just like doing the best they can. And it's everyone's first time on earth. So we're all fucking everything up constantly. So I will say he's probably just a really big dumbass who panicked for some reason. Has to do with him, not you. This isn't a reflection of you. Freaked himself out. And or is just like a piece of shit. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. And that's all his business. And now you don't have to deal with it. That's a gift he gave you. Like, you don't have to deal with a long breakup with a guy named Trevor with maroon sheets. He walked away. Amazing.
Yeah. He probably was like, uh-oh, she wants more. She can't see my sheet.
My one sheet.
She can't see the sheet.
She can't see my bar of Irish Spring in the shower that I use for shampoo, too, that also has a pube stuck in it.
Yes.
She can't see my pube soap. I respect her.
And I will say, even though, you know, you're not, you don't want to like hook up with people, which I totally understand. I do think the distraction tactic, if you want to take it, could still work if you just want to flirt with people on a fucking app or whatever. You know what I mean? Yes. Just to remind yourself there are other people out there. Try not to get too caught up in it, but just look at it as like a, I'm just going to like have some fun chatting with some people.
Yeah, because I just feel like your brain goes on a bit of a feedback loop sometimes when these with these situations. And I just think a distraction can like break the loop a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Please also, though, I just want to say, because I feel like this happens to every single 23-year-old, and it may have already happened because 23 is kind of the tail end of when this happens, but do not date an older, rich man who's creepy and violates boundaries because he thinks he can get away with it. That's just like a big warning. Mm. I know men in their 20s are also bad. There's not really great options, obviously, but stay away from the like...
Yeah, no, but those guys have it more... Yeah, the guys in their 20s are kind of like flailing and don't know what the fuck they're doing.
That's what my point was about this guy. I think he's an idiot. Mm-hmm. I just think he is. I don't think he, I mean, maybe he was malicious, but he's flailing, like you said.
But older guys are like, they're like they got their shit on lock in a weird way that you don't want to.
I know. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, I know we all watch Mad Men and there's the silver fox of it all. And there's something kind of, old men are like horses. Sexy, but ultimately a bit dangerous. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely yes. I knew exactly where you were going. As soon as you said they're like horses, I was like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Good luck. Let us know, you know, how it goes. But yeah, I think just a few weeks and you won't even be thinking about this fucking guy anymore.
Yeah. Block him on all this stuff.
Yes. Don't look at his shit. He is dead.
He died.
He's dead. There's nothing to look at. Yeah,
he's dead. Somebody pulled the plug to charge their phone with him. So good riddance, Trevor.
All right, we'll do
He died legalizing more. Eating ass.
He died as he lived.
Fighting the good fight to legalize eating ass.
Legalize it.
All right, we'll do one more quick one. Okay.
Hey, ladies. Gosh, I have like... the biggest lady problem ever right now. You have no idea. So, you know, we're getting out of quarantine. Awesome. Like, me and my boyfriend, we planned this awesome trip to Jamaica, okay? Like, at a Sandals resort. Couples only. Like, no children, okay? Gonna be awesome. And great, you know? And then, you know what that fucker does? He loses his passport. And you know what the... You know, he realized he lost his passport, like, you know, a month and a half ago. But you know what? Our trip's a month away. And you know what the expedited passport waiting times are right now? 6 to 12 weeks. And our trip is 4 weeks away.
That's perfect.
Okay? So, my lady problem is, what do we do? Because, obviously, we're going to cancel this trip. Like, what else can we do? Like, what's another fun thing we can do? I live in Georgia, by the way. And it's not that interesting, you know, because, you know, I live here in Atlanta. That's cool. But, like, it's Georgia. So, like, what else am I going to do? Like, I was thinking, like, maybe go to Grand Canyon, Zion, like, that kind of thing. But I don't know. Like, Vegas? What do I do? Ladies, please. Oh, my God. Help me. I'm also really pissed at my boyfriend. Thank you.
You can go to a passport office, and if you tell them that you have travel coming up, they will help you expedite it beyond the mail and expedite thing. So I just want to put that out there. Go to a passport office, and they, if you have planned travel, they usually will help you out.
Oh. Yeah, Sophia's right. You have to go to the federal building, like the legit federal building, and it is going to cost you an ass load of money, but they will hook it up.
And that said, if you... don't hear this in time or if it doesn't work. I love your vibe and I think you should go to Vegas alone without your boyfriend as a punishment. And if you tell me when you're there and depending on like Delta variant shit, I'm absolutely down. Your vibe was amazing. I felt like I could already see us telling people in the bathroom that we love them. And so I feel that. I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you.
One of my number one things I've missed over the last year and a half is telling people I love them in the bathroom as well.
It's so nice.
So fun. Aww. I think Vegas was the one that I hit on the most because it's like, yeah, I mean, of course, Grand Canyon, Zion are amazing.
Hiking,
but if you're into like, you know, you want to go party and like have fun. I mean, you were going to go to Jamaica. That's a very hard place to
replace.
Substitute.
Well,
Yeah.
But I was going to say, you're near Puerto Rico, like on the East Coast near Georgia, you're near Puerto Rico. The Virgin Islands really aren't that far. Key West is not that far away from
you.
Do you
need a passport to go to
Puerto Rico? No, Puerto Rico is an American territory. You don't need a passport. Territory. Yeah, you don't need a port. And honestly, also, everybody should go to Puerto Rico and put more money into their economy because they need it because we don't take care of them. And it's a fucking gorgeous place. But yeah, you've got a lot of like cool other islands that are near you that have other
I would
stuff
definitely
going on.
Try to go somewhere tropical or something beachy to just get your, obviously that's what you were looking forward to.
Really close to there is, it's kind of like, the vibes are a little different than Jamaica, I imagine, but Hilton Head, South Carolina is like,
oh, it's great.
There's no streets. It's all just like driving around in golf carts. It is kind of designed for old people, but in a really fun way because it's just like beaches and a lot of people are playing golf and tennis, but it's like you just drink and hang out. And that's close. You could spend a lot of good money there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that you would enjoy it, but if other listeners are paying attention or are any want to go to Hilton Head, there is also a Gravedigger. The monster truck is from Hilton Head, and there is a Gravedigger Cafe where all of the old decommissioned gravediggers are just hanging out outside.
Oh, so that's amazing. God.
It's called Digger's Dungeon, and I've wanted to go for a long time.
That sounds really luxurious.
Yes.
Okay, really lady nice. To lady trip. We're all going to Hilton Head. Your boyfriend's staying home.
I'm in.
Yeah. I do think, though, like, yeah. You should be very pissed at him. Also, the fact that he waited to do this is so ridiculous. You're not his parent, and he should have a consequence, which should be not going on the trip.
And I do just want to shout back to our first advice asker. This is what you avoided.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Also, you can tell that she's the one figuring out the passport shit.
Of course she is.
Makes me so fucking mad.
Of course she is. I just want to throw in the mix, if you're willing to go a little bit further, my first thought was San Diego. Like San Diego.
What?
Come on.
Your
it's great.
First thought of a fun place in America was
no,
like.
No, for what she wants to do, like okay, hang out on the fair. Beach and just like be like get like a drink in a yard and just be drunk on a beach. Like
okay,
San Diego.
I feel that.
You know
can
what
I mean?
Do that in San Diego? Is that?
Oh,
is
it, yes.
I've never really done the beach thing there.
Oh,
yeah. I've
yes.
never really spent time there.
Oh, you guys have got to go to the beaches down there. It's because it's like, it's less dirty than the LA beach. The water's nicer. And it kind of sounds like it has those Hilton Head vibes, but there's also a lot of like douchebag bars where you can karaoke. I think there is a dueling piano bar there.
Yeah. I mean, there's Miami. Is like
oh,
Miami is
a great option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stay right out on the beach. Like, there's plenty. There's Miami is a party town. That would be
also,
really
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're in Georgia. You are so close to so many resorts that you could get to for very cheaply, and then spend all the money on the fun stuff at the resort. And you're so close to all kinds of like Gulf side stuff and ocean side stuff. You're doing great. And the only part that's not going great is your little boyfriend. And I think if this is like his first red flag, we're gonna give him a pass because like passports are hard and being an adult is hard.
Yes.
If this is his like third or fourth thing that you're taking care of for him, that's like a major thing that might ruin a trip or you know,
yeah,
you might need to think about ghosting him and going to Philadelphia.
you might need to go on this trip and never come back.
Yeah. You might need to think about some things because this is ridiculously irresponsible with like time and money. And clearly this trip matters to you enough that like, of course it matters. Like it's a trip to Jamaica. Like
for sure.
It's a big deal. And he messed it up.
Yeah.
I hope she absolutely. Gets this in time though, because as much as I want to clown on the boyfriend, and actually this was my husband's fault, but I had to go get an emergency passport one time and I got it in like 3 days. Like,
yeah, I do hope she hears this in time to not cancel the trip and just go to the passport office. It's going to suck again.
Oh, we'll send money and suck, but we'll email her before this because this is coming out in a few weeks. So we'll email her that info.
Oh my God. And I just feel like regardless, needless to say, the boyfriend owes this woman a fancy dinner and he needs to go down on her for like an hour.
At least an hour. Like start an eight. Actually, and not, you know what? I don't think it should be long. I think it should be like every week.
Yes.
An hour. And for each week that it would have taken to expedite the passport. So like 6 weeks in a row, you have an hour appointment every Sunday night to eat.
And wherever you guys go on your trip, he is in charge of fucking everything. You go get me my drink. You do. Yeah, you plan this shit. You go like he needs to fucking step up and take care of some shit.
Yes.
Even though it's not going to happen because you have to be the one to do it. But sorry.
Can Can you have him call in or just like call me? I just really need to talk to this guy. So important.
Oh, man. Let us know where you end up going. We're curious. Yeah. Honestly, also, you sound like a blast. So you're going to make the best of wherever you end up going.
Yeah, she is.
Totally.
Yes.
But yeah, also, absolutely. Yeah, I know we said it like three times, but like, if you don't go to Vegas on this trip, go to Vegas soon, because I really think this is a girl who will love Vegas.
See Magic Mike Live by yourself.
It's so good. It's so good.
The best. Mm-hmm. And like, if you go with him, just go see Magic Mike Live by yourself while you're there, because you'll have
or
fun.
Or bring him. Like, he could watch that. That's and true. Just
could learn a thing or two.
Learn something. Do you know what choreographed strip routines take? Planning, forethought,
yes.
Some skills that you might pick up from Magic Mike Life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't believe it's been so long since we've gone. I miss it so much. And now it's in a whole new casino, a new host. Mm-hmm. I feel like when did you go see it?
Oh my gosh. I think it was, I went and saw it in 2019, and I don't want to spoil too much, but they had like the corny host.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, I've seen it five times. Like,
I love it.
The best show of all time. So anyway, just make that you would have so much fun there. Make that your destination either way at some point. And yeah, that's always our tip mostly at the end, is just to put that in your life.
I know we need to wrap up the episode, but I'm just combining everything we talked about in this episode. And I just had this fantasy of we're all on a patio.
Okay, yes.
With drinks. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Brendan Fraser themed stripper pop out
ding,
of
ding,
a cake
ding.
That we then proceed to eat. A pop out of a bread cake.
And we eat his ass because it's legal now.
Yes!
Yeah!
Perfection.
Perfect.
It's Sophia, let everyone know where they can find your book, where they can find you, all that good stuff.
You can find my book anywhere the books are sold, including Target, which sells it, which I think is insane.
Yes.
So that's fabulous. Go to Target. Just kidding. Use indie bookstores. And then you can find me on Twitter at @onefollowernodad. And that is where all my advice columns are and every thought that pops into my head.
And thank you so much. Yeah, Sophia is so fucking funny. Go grab her book. Follow her online if you're not already. And thank you. You're great at giving advice, and thank you for lending your tips to our gals.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun. I can't wait to start a hotline where I make everyone call me about their boyfriends.
Should make that boyfriend hotline.
Boyfriend hotline. I'm going to fix them. I can fix him. I'm going to call
him.
I can fix him.
Fix him.
Fix him. We chant that a lot.
We used to have a chant that now it's usually dump him, dump him. But, you know, it varies.
Yeah, it depends.
Well, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. This is Amy from Canada. I started listening when you joined Exactly Right Network and have been binging my way through. And I just got to the May episode where you talked about the theme song and what the people thought that it was. I thought it was Barbara Brandy and a corporate vest. I don't know what a corporate vest is, but I've been singing that for the last however many months now. So love you guys. Thanks for the show. Bye.
Hey, so this is in response to all of the rumors about the tuna salad at Subway. So working as a Subway employee myself, I can say, as far as I knew, that never happened. But if you were one of the folks who ordered a large, say, like 6-foot party sub, let me just say one time we were trying to carry one of those around the corner, and the top, which was, you know, had a lot of mayonnaise and stuff on it, flipped over, it fell onto the floor. We didn't have time to bake another one before that kid had to pick it up for his birthday party, so we just wiped it off, put it back on, and sent it on its way. So if you had a birthday party sometime in the late 90s in Ohio and you had Subway cater it, I'm sorry. But anyway, we all know that fast food's pretty sus anyway. Thanks, guys. Love your podcast. Take care. Bye.